Now, further revelations from the Paradise Papers this morning. They're the 13.4 million leaked documents which show how the rich and famous have avoided paying taxes. This morning, three of the hit BBC sitcom Mrs. Brown Boys actors are in the spotlight. Patrick Houlihan and Martin and Fiona Delaney diverted more than £2 million into an offshore tax avoidance scheme. Here's where Panorama's Richard Bilton confronted Fiona Delaney in last night's programme.
Can you tell me about your tax book? You get paid in Mauritius, don't you? What's all that about? Do you? And then the loans. Do you pay those loans back? I don't think you do pay them back. Is it a tax dodge? Are you a tax dodger?
I don't even know who you are.
I'm from Panorama. Are you from Mrs. Brown's Boys? And you're a tax dodger. That's not very funny at all, is it?
The actors have not responded to the BBC's request for comment. The commentator, Charlie Wolfe, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Charlie.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning. And Phil Kelly is from Northern Ireland Socialist and Labour Party. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. And here's the question to everybody this morning. If you could do it, would you do it? 08085 909 693 is not the number. That's Five Lives' number. What's the number, Vinny? I can't remember our number now. 03030 80 55 55. I'm getting very old.
I jinxed you. It was my fault.
Yes. 03030. I'm working for too many different people. 03030 80 55 55 is the number to ring. If you could do it, would you do it? Or would you not do it because you kind of think to yourself, do you know what, there's a moral obligation to pay a lot of money to the taxman, because that's what does ultimately pay for the public services you use, your hospitals and all of that malarkey. You did it, Charlie Wolfe. If you could do it, you did do it.
I did do it when I was living in the Republic of Ireland. But actually, quite frankly, most of your listeners are probably doing it now, and it's called an ISA. And simply avoiding tax. And actually, the better word...
Charlie, there's a huge difference between putting money into a government-approved ISA scheme and diverting money through about three different channels to Mauritius.
No, there really isn't. I'll tell you why. Because most of these, and not all, but probably the vast majority are simply what are known as deferring tax. When you avoid tax, you're deferring it, because at some point, you're going to bring the money in, and that's when you have to pay the tax on it. Now, maybe you get a savings because you do it when you're retired and you're not bringing in as much income as you did when you're younger, but it is simply a deferment. Now, in my case, it was slightly different. I was not domiciled in the Republic of Ireland. I wasn't living there. But when I brought it into this country, I had to pay tax here. Now, yes, I had a choice between, you know, paying tax in Ireland or here where it was less, and that's what I opted for. But it is nothing illegal. There's nothing immoral. And, you know, people really need to, you know, not get caught up in this. I think they're being kind of, in a sense, let up the garden path. And quite frankly, just listening to that tape of was it Roger Bilton? I thought that was disgusting. I really thought taking some woman and chasing her around a hall with a microphone, you know, she probably doesn't know what half of what's going on. She was a tour accountant. I thought that was really disgusting journalism.
You thought it was disgusting journalism. First of all, his name is Richard Bilton. And what was disgusting about it?
Well, I mean, you're having some woman, you know, doorstepping her. You know, she hasn't done anything wrong. It's really none of their
business. Richard would have done that after writing to her, asking for some questions to be answered.
Yeah, but it's none of their business. She didn't break any laws. Why is all of a sudden someone...
Well, there is no suggestion that she broke any laws. But clearly, Panorama feel that there is a public interest.
I don't know. This is sort of private. You know, there are people that make more than $2 million. You know, everyone's getting all because she put $2 million away. She's an actress. She's a successful actress. I don't have to watch Mrs. Brown's Boys. I don't really know much about the show. But there's footballers that make that kind of money and more. There's no public interest there. It's pathetic.
Phil?
Well, firstly, I'd say the real scandal in all of this is that these actions are legal, as you've said. I don't think we're surprised. We're fully aware of the lack of transparency among the powerful and the rich. And I think very tellingly, you need to look at this. Since this Tory government came to power, there's been an 18% cut to HMRC, which shows that their priority is not tackling the gross inequality created by this kind of tax avoidance, tax evasion, elaborate tax plans. And I'd ask this, what is achieved by this offshore tax avoidance? Because it starves the global economy of billions of pounds, money that could be productive in our economy, creating jobs, going back into our National Health Service. And it squirrels it away to fuel opulent lives of greed and waste. And that gross inequality is one of the greatest threats to our society, because I'd say this, every pound squirreled away by the wealthy elite is a pound removed from our health service, from our firefighters, our police, our public servants. And we need to see that, you know, this is really a classic example of the few profiting off the many. And, you know, you were mentioning investigative journalists earlier. Investigative journalists and whistleblowers are playing an important role in this. They're revealing this murky world. They're shining a light into it, but that's not enough. I believe...
What is wrong?
There's something murky.
Here's the question, Phil Kelly. Because it is legal, what is wrong with someone trying to absolutely, aggressively, to the nth degree, try to legally minimise the amount of money taken away from them and their families and hand it over to the tax man? What's wrong with that?
Because the pursuit of personal gain in that kind of fashion is not some neutral act devoid of consequences. As I've said, it has direct consequences. We live in a society where food banks are opening at a record rate. At the same time, luxury yachts are being sold at a higher number than ever before.
But if the government wanted to put more money to those, then what they could do is simply raise the tax rates.
Absolutely, and what I'm saying as well is that while we keep these loopholes open, keeping these tax loopholes open is unethical. There is no action being taken by government to do this.
Charlie?
What is needed, the response to this investigative journalist, to this light being shown, is public anger and a demand by the hard-working, ordinary citizens of this country and many other countries to say, we are calling time on your actions.
Don't forget our question today. If you could do it, would you do it? If you could avoid tax, in other words, don't forget the difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance. We are not suggesting tax evasion in any of these cases. Tax evasion is illegal. We are talking here about tax avoidance, which is people employing specialists and looking at loopholes and looking at the law and trying to go right up to the edge of how they can minimise their tax bill. If you could do that, would you do it? 030 30 80 55 55. Andrew in Lisburn. Morning, Andrew.
Of course you would do it, Stephen. Because you take the people in the double. Free house, free car, free rent, getting their aids. So you tally that up. That's about 2,000, 15 to 2,000 a week. Of course. I go out, I earn 11. I pay my tax, I pay my rent, my car, my food. Of course.
So when you, I don't know, did you see the panorama last night?
Yes.
So your tax is presumably taken out at source, right? So you get your pay slip, your tax is already gone.
Yep.
Did it annoy you that you see some people diverting money tax-free offshore, then sending it back to themselves and it's not taxed?
Of course it did, yes. I was fuming about it.
But
you take a coming up to Christmas, everybody's struggling. You know, of course they need the money.
Charlie?
A couple of things. First off, by the way, when the other guest was talking about for their gain, you know, this sort of horrible gain. No, it's they're keeping it. They've already gained it. This thing about, by the way, inequality. I in the poor can't do these sort of things, et cetera, the middle classes. I spoke to my financial advisor about half an hour ago before coming on this morning. And I said, you know, obviously without breaking any confidence, is there anybody on PAYE, that invests with this? Of course. He says, it takes a lump sum. But, I got people in PAYE. Anybody can go into a financial planner's office. It's planning. That's all it is. And trying to, save your money. So, again, I think we're making a big mountain out of a molehill. And the ways you can actually change all of this, and I remember having this conversation with our friend Bishop Lowlands a long time ago. Let me tell you something that Art Laffer once told me, the economist. Super rich people, and I'm talking the way up there, I mean even beyond you, Stephen, they don't have to get paid taxes because they don't have to get paid. They can take, you know, their money wherever, whenever, however. So what you try and do is you get rid of all of the loopholes, you get rid of all of the stuff, and have a flat tax. I said that to Bishop Lowe. He wasn't interested. But that's the, that's how you solve it if you really want to change the thing.
Phil
but
Kelly?
At present, they can do these things. It's
well,
fine.
I mean, let me quote one of the wealthiest men in the world, Warren Buffet, and he said openly that over the last number of decades, his class, the super rich, have been waging class war on the rest of society, and his class is winning. He was making the point that the staff who cleaned his offices were paying more in percentage of their earnings in tax than... Than him and his fellow elite were paying. This is immoral, and what I'm saying is, yes, at the moment it's legal, but it is up to the public to respond to this, because we've seen the Panama Papers last year. The outrage needs to grow, and we need to have a demand, a political demand across countries to say we are calling time in this, we are shutting this down. You know, look at Grenfell, Stephen, and your listeners will remember when those people were made homeless because and people died because there was cost cuttings by the local council in fitting out their homes. They were looking at houses which were lying empty, which had been bought up by the super rich offshore to use as land bank and just to sit as an investment, empty houses. What does that tell you about the warped priorities of greed in our society? And if it's not dealt with...
You say, Phil Kelly, that people should vote for, essentially with their feet and increase the level of outrage. If you take two of the examples that were broadcast on Panorama last night... So let's take the Mrs. Brown Boys example. Three of the actors who we've said, Patrick Houlihan, Martin and Fiona Daly, diverted more than £2 million into an offshore tax avoidance scheme. So I guess that the viewer, the licence fee payer, the BBC licence fee payer, could, if they wanted to, think to themselves, well, hold on a moment, that's actually our licence fee money if you follow it. So
absolutely.
The licence fee money is funding the production company to make the show. The show is then broadcast on the BBC. Now, there is a touring show associated with Mrs. Brown Boys, and that's where I think one of the cases looks at. But ultimately, Mrs. Brown Boys has the profile it has because of the BBC. But do you honestly think, here's my point, do you honestly think that people are going to watch that show any less, that they're going to be so angry that they're going to watch it any less? Similarly with Apple. You saw Apple last night, despite Apple claiming that they do not proactively go out to try to aggressively avoid tax. When the tax avoidance scheme in Ireland was shut down, they went on a shopping list of countries to try to find somewhere where they could pay as little tax as possible. Do you think people will stop buying Apple products because of it?
Well, let me answer that, because... You may be right. I was shocked by the sort of initial noise around the Panama Papers and then how very quickly that died away in the public debate. Let me say to your listeners, to anyone who's looking at this issue, if you look at this with apathy, with disengagement, then it will come at a heavy price. Because if the public doesn't respond to this, you will pay dearly. Because the very wealthiest in our society hold the majority of the rest of us in contempt. And we will pay for it by the dismantling of our NHS, by the destruction of our education system, and by the collapse of our public services. We're already seeing this. So
It's kind of funny you point to Warren Buffett, of all people, who is one of the super, super, super rich, one of the richest people in the world. And actually, I had dinner many years ago with the guy that was his number two and was supposed to take his place until he quit. This whole line about him paying less than his secretary, it's a scam. And I can tell you that because if you look, and again, this is Arthur Laffer who was explaining this to me once, if you look at what his actual wealth is compared to what he pays, it's a lot more than he says. So he's not paying, worried about paying more than his secretary. He's worried about his image. He's really got the wool pulled over your eyes.
Oh, I agree.
We're not talking about him this morning. Let's stick to the subject. James North Belfast. Good morning, James.
Morning. My question, first of all, is Lewis Hamilton was mentioned in the papers yesterday, is actually a non-domicile, which means he has told the tax man he lives somewhere else, whether that be Monaco, Switzerland, or whatever else. So he's not obliged to pay tax in the UK at all. So some of these papers are actually red herrings in terms of saying these people are avoiding tax because they're non-domiciled and they can spend less than 90 days a year in the UK. The other thing is then that some of these people then set themselves up as companies, just like you would do as well, Stephen. And if you can avoid tax through whatever means possible, you will do it. So we need to kind of bring this down and say, by making these people pay this tax or not pay this tax, would it make the health service any better?
So,
I've got to tell you, the £3 million that Lewis Hamilton, for example, is alleged to have avoided in VAT wouldn't make one iota of difference to the National Health Service because it needs billions.
So are you saying, are you saying that if anybody could do it, they would?
Stephen, look at the self-employed. I'm self-employed, so I look at it this way. I have an accountant. They tell me what I should claim, what I shouldn't claim. I don't get some of those choices in terms of where it is. My accountant says to me, look, you can avoid paying tax. What am I going to do? Am I going to say, no, I want to pay the next
tax? But James, is there any moral compulsion in your view, James? There is a difference, surely, between putting money into a pension scheme in this country, government approved, putting money into an ISA. You know, if you have premium bonds, then the returns that you get are not taxed. Is there not a difference between that and someone based in the UK setting up very complicated structures to send money out offshore, let's say to Mauritius, and then bringing it back again, and you see the money going out and you see the money coming back, and nothing really has happened in between? Is there you see the difference there?
Oh, I can, Stephen, but the problem and the difference is the government allow us to do it. So what we need to do is we either need to change the system, change the law, or change the process. You can't blame people for exploiting, for want of a better description, the systems that are there to their advantage.
Well, let me let Phil Kelly speak to you about that. Phil?
Every single person out there would do it.
You know, this is indicative of the society we're in, where the consequence of our actions, we're told, don't associate your actions to the consequences they cause. That shows a collapse in morality and ethics in everything that is good about society. You know, this, it's all about self, it's all about greed. If we allow this to continue, it has severe consequences to our society. There is nothing, Stephen, more expensive to deal with than gross inequality. So in societies where, you know, we don't have good public services, don't have good education or good healthcare, where it breeds poverty and inequality, that's really expensive to deal with. How much better would it be to live in a society where we look after one another collectively and we build a fair society where citizens can all reach
James?
Their potential instead of this parasitic rich?
If you look at that, then what you're saying is everybody should have the same salary, the same, everybody should be equal. The society we live in needs wealthy people to invest, to create jobs elsewhere. We need, not necessarily that imbalance in society, but society needs people to invest. They're people with money, but those people need to invest that money. You know, you look at, again, I used the example of Hamilton, there are thousands of people depend on his success in jobs in the Formula One industry around England and around the world. You cannot just say it needs to be an equal society. If that was the case, then everybody would be earning £500 or £1,000.
No, that's...
We'd have nothing. We'd have nothing. No one would be earning anything.
You're talking...
There would be no wealth.
Left, frankly.
I mean, no wealth. We see everybody becoming poor. It's just mathematical.
Okay,
can
Phil?
Stephen, can I very quickly tell...
No, let's let Phil respond.
I mean, utter nonsense from both the contributors there, because the problem with these elaborate tax schemes is that the money is sucked out of the global economy. This is the problem. This is why we have a debt crisis and a lack of invested money, because money is sitting away, fueling the life of a very wealthy elite. Let me give you one example. Sir Philip Green, who spends a lot of time on a super yacht in Monaco, the British taxpayer, when he was in charge of British Home Stores, was paying his workers £575 million to top up their wages because they weren't earning enough. We are subsidising, we as ordinary citizens who go out and work every day, are subsidising the super wealthy, and they shouldn't be allowed to take the money that is created in this country out of this country. And the point to Lewis Hamilton, if Lewis Hamilton lives in Monaco and wants to, deal with his affairs from Monaco, let him drape himself in the Monaco flag when he wins a Grand Prix and not insult the British people who he doesn't want to pay his fair share.
Here's Darren next. Morning, Darren.
Morning, Steve. Somebody made the point earlier about why didn't the government raise the taxes.
it's pretty self-explanatory why the government don't raise taxes. Government don't raise taxes. There's so many multimillionaires sitting in government that a tax raise will hit them in the pocket. If you look at Trump's tax reforms in America, it's the same thing. The top 1% are getting more than half of them tax cuts. It's all about the wealthy keeping their wealth.
I saw a statistic somewhere that the top 1% in this country are paying 28% of the total tax take.
Top percentile in America pay 95% of income taxes.
You're completely missing the point here. The point is they won't raise taxes to try and make up for the loopholes that are closed because it's going to hit them in the pocket. They don't want to pay out of their own pockets, but they're quick enough to lambast anybody who does a tax dodge, even a tax referral. So, I mean, you can't talk out of one side of your mouth and then talk the other side of your mouth telling us a different story. It doesn't work that way.
Actually, if you want to be smart about it, if they lower tax, they get better revenues. And that's a fact. On the very top 1%, you lower your tax rate, you get higher revenues. But can I very quickly, Stephen, because we were talking about this moral imperative, and I'll make it very brief, my story. When I came over to work in the Republic of Ireland for a friend, I got a call from Henry Owens, who had worked on Atlantic 252 with me. He's starting a station down in Cork called Red FM. Calls me up, says, I need you. I need a talk show host that can, you know, do things that haven't been done here. I went over, took a tour of the station, sat down and went...
Make this quick, Charlie.
Anyway, he wrote down on a napkin how much he was going to pay me. I said, Henry, I can't do it because I can't afford it. Until he told me, his accountant told me how I can defer my money and what I did with the shell company and the other man, that allowed me to work there. What I earned and what I brought in advertising and boosting the economy far outdid whatever I would have been paying in taxes.
Maliki in Belfast. Morning, Maliki.
Hi, Ian. I'll just bring it down to a working class level about paying tax. I've been self-employed my whole life. I've been paying thousands and thousands of pound tax. 2 years ago, a tax man walked into my business and said to me, you have £500 VAT. I says, I know I'm struggling a wee bit at the minute. I need a wee bit more time to pay it. He took out a notepad. He says, that television is worth 50 quid. That dishwasher is worth £200. That table and chairs is worth £300. Now, if you don't pay me the money, we'll be back to take these off your premises. And he says, are you having a laugh? And he went, no. He says, I've never missed a VAT return or a tax return in my whole life, mate. And I have paid thousands in on revenue. I'm not paying tax for willy-nilly wars and for you to give people on benefits money that don't get it and the whole fraud of what the tax goes on. The government can't spend the money properly. So you're going to tell me you're going to close my business down, put people out of work, because of 500 quid there, are you in tax? Yes, I am. My advice to anybody out there, if you can avoid paying it, avoid it like a plague. Because them snakes will take every penny off you and they will give it to people who don't deserve it.
Well, they're not snakes, are they? They're doing their job and they're trying to get you to abide by the rules set down by Parliament.
Absolute rubbish. What they're doing is they're taking business. If I was an international company and I was bringing people in here to work, you know, I would have the Northern Ireland, the people who give money to companies to come in and invest in this country, millions of pounds, and they could dodge tax like a plague. But I'm just an ordinary working guy employing ordinary working people, and they will absolutely lambast me out of the water at every given time. They tried to take a van of me a lot of years ago because of tax, and I said to him, if you take my van, how can I go out and pay the money to pay your tax? And he says, it doesn't matter, sell your van. So they don't care about me, and they don't care about anything else, only getting the tax. That's all they're interested in. The fact that I've paid them thousands is irrelevant. The fact that they give thousands of tax away to people who don't need it and squander it.
Well, they don't give it away, do they?
They do give it away, Stephen. They give it away. If you look at the people who, if you look at where the money that the government spend the taxes on, they give it away. It's their banner. If you go into it in an international scale, aircraft carriers, they're building that can't fly airplanes, subsidies for this, subsidies for that, you know, politicians who don't work. You know, armies fighting wars that shouldn't be in. Go, you know, where do you stop? But the bottom line is, they're prepared to take a business off me. And I pay these people, I mean, hundreds of thousands of pounds in my lifetime. And for 500 quid or 4,000 pounds, they're telling me, sell this and bring yourself down. And then I get people like, you know, your do-gooders coming on saying, you know, yes, multinationals, dodge tax, I don't agree with that. But ordinary working people, if you can avoid paying them, avoid paying them like a plague, in my opinion.
Malachy, thank you very much indeed. Phil Kelly, Charlie Wolfe, thank you. And just to remind you, on tomorrow morning's Nolan Show at 9 o'clock, we will reveal the outcome of our investigation. Our investigations unit has been looking at this story for many, many weeks now, and we will reveal the outcome of that, what's been happening in Northern Ireland. So that's tomorrow morning, a Nolan Show special at 9 o'clock on the Paradise Papers.